Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
I really But when you throw that word really in there, come on, somebody talk back to me. I said, you could just say, the songwriter could just say, I love the Lord. But when you say, I really love him, your attitude ought to be different right now. Come on, if you really love him, it ought to show up in your praise. It ought to show up in your worship. Where are my folk who really love the Lord? Get on your feet and give him a really praise. I love him. In the book of Psalms, the 30th number of the book of Psalms, there is a word from the Lord. Thank you, choir, for that beautiful selection. Sister Moffitt, amen. God bless you. Thank you. The 30th number of Psalms and the first five verses, there you will find these words. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you for this preaching privilege, and God, we pray that you will speak a word into our hearts and into our minds, even as we thank you and honor you for keeping us to see this new year. And now, God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I want to talk for just a few moments this morning from this subject, Great Expectations for 2022. Yes. Amen. Great Expectations for 2022. Thank you, ushers. I recently read an article that listed the five most popular resolutions made every new year. Fifth on the list was to take up a new hobby. The fourth was to make more money. The third most popular resolution was to improve relationships. The second was to stop smoking. And the most popular New Year's resolution, y'all already know, you already guessed it, amen, is to lose weight.
Yes, Lord.
Well, this reminds me of a story about a woman who walked into her master bathroom and saw her husband standing on the scale weighing himself. And while he was standing on the scale weighing himself, she noticed that he was sucking in his stomach. She thought to herself, if he thinks that sucking in his stomach is going to make him weigh less, then he's dumber than I first believed. So she sarcastically said to him, honey, baby, amen, your stomach is not going to help. Sucking in your stomach ain't going to help. He said, yes, it will, because that's the only way I can see the numbers on the scale. Well, let's look at this text. Verse 1. We see here David giving us three examples of how we can have great expectations for the new year. Amen. How can we have great expectations for 2022? Well, number one, the first thing that we need to do is look back over our lives. Now, as you examine this text, look at verse 1. It says, I will extol thee, O Lord. Extol means to lift up. Extol means to glorify, and watch this, not just glorify haphazardly, but to glorify on purpose. It's an intensive or intentional action. David, in saying, I will extol thee, O Lord, is saying, in other words, I'm going to praise you on purpose. Reminds me of my nephew, Wade Garner Jr. He has a singing group that has been here to Leesville, and y'all know they have a recording, and the name of the group and the title of their song is Deliberate Praise. And that's all David is saying when he says, I will extol thee, O Lord. He says, I'm going to give God a deliberate praise. I'm going to give God an on-purpose praise. I'm going to give God, and y'all do know that sometimes folk are praising just because somebody else in their pew is praising. Y'all do know that sometimes folk are praising just because the praise leader says clap or dance or shout amen. But is there anybody in here who can say God has been so good to you that there are times in your life that you feel like you've got to give him a deliberate praise, a purposeful praise? Why is David going to praise God on purpose? I'm so glad you asked. The first reason is in the first verse, he says, thou hast lifted me up. The second reason is in the second verse, he said, you healed me. The third reason is in the third verse, he says, you saved my soul. So we see here David saying, I will extol thee, O Lord, I will praise you on purpose. Others may forget you. Others may murmur against you. Others may despise you, but I'm going to intensively and intentionally praise your name on purpose. Y'all, it's as if David is saying, I don't need a pep talk from a preacher. It's as if David is saying, I don't need anybody to pump me up. David is saying, I'm going to praise you on purpose because when I look back over my life, and I think things over, I remember how you lifted me from the pit of hell. David says, I remember how you lifted me from the ditch of sin. David says, I remember how you lifted me from a bed of sickness and pain. I remember how you lifted me out of the bondage of doubt and fear. And for that, I will extol thee, O Lord, because when I think of your goodness, I have no choice but to praise your name. A preacher by the name of G.S. Bowes asked the question of his congregation way back in 1863. He asked his congregation, what is praise? And in response to their many and varied answers, he said, praise is the rent that we owe God. Bowles concluded that the larger your house, the greater the rent ought to be. In other words, the more God has done for you, the greater your praise ought to be. Amen. In other words, the more God has healed your body, the greater your praise ought to be. The more times God has paid your light bill and paid your rent when you didn't know where the money was coming from, the better your praise ought to be. It ought not be a surprise why some people have a greater praise than other people, because some folk recognize that God did everything that has happened good in my life. It was God who did it. Come on, where are my folk who understand that because God has been so good to me, I've got to give him praise. Well, you see, some of us have gotten so tripped up in our pursuit of prosperity that we've forgotten from whence God has brought us. Well, that's what happened to David in verses 6 through 10 when he said, "And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved." You see, the pride of prosperity had caused him to forget his need to trust in the Lord and caused him to boast in his own self-sufficiency and in his own self-confidence. So that this doesn't happen to any of us here this morning, let me help you take a stroll back down memory lane to remember his goodness so you can praise him too like David. I dare you to remember when you were flat broke and didn't know where the next meal was coming from. Oh, we don't have anybody in here like that. Amen. I dare you to remember when you didn't have two dimes to rub together. We don't have anybody in here like that. I dare you to remember when you were lying on your back in that hospital room and you were sick and didn't think that you would ever get well. Oh, I guess we don't have anybody in here like that. I dare you to remember, amen, when all you had to eat was a syrup sandwich, a ketchup sandwich, a mayonnaise sandwich. Some of you, all you had to eat was a wish sandwich. What is a wish sandwich, Pastor? A wish sandwich is you saying, "I wish I had some meat to put between this bread." Is there anybody in here who hasn't forgotten where the Lord has brought you from? Is there anybody in here who can say that when I look back and think things over, I've got to praise him because he's brought me this far by faith? You ought to give him praise on this Sunday morning. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen. Some of us can testify that he's taken us from Vienna sausages to pork chops. And then there's another group of folk who can say, "Oh, Pastor, he's done me one better than that. He's taken me from pork chops to ribeye steaks." And then there are three or four folk in here who can testify that, "Oh, Pastor, he's done me one better than that. Amen, ribeyes are all right, but I'm eating filet mignons now." Is there anybody here that can give God a purposeful praise for what he's done in your life? So number one, great expectations come by looking back and praising God for what he's done. But then number two, the second thing we need to do to have great expectations for the new year is we need to sing and give thanks for what God is doing right now. Amen. Thank him for what he did yesterday. But there are some of us in here right now who can't hardly contain our praise because in spite of what's happening around us, God is still good. Amen. There are some of us in here, amen, who can't hardly contain our praise because even with pandemic, even with crazy folk and division and racism and all of that, there are some of us in here who can hardly contain our praise because not only was God good to me yesterday, can I tell y'all something? God is good to me right now. The fact that I'm able to stand here right now, all 200 pounds of me and then some, amen, is a testimony of what God is able. I wish somebody would give him a right now praise. Oh yeah, he brought me from eating wish sandwiches, but he's good to me right now. We need to sing, the psalmist says, and give thanks for what God is doing for us now. Praise him for what he has done. But y'all know what we say we do. Amen. We praise him for what he's done. But what Pastor Garner say all the time, we worship him what? Yes. Just because of who he is.
Yeah, right,
amen. 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 Walk with me. Look at verse 4. It says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness.
Yeah. Mm.
So we need to look back over our life. That's the past. Now we need to sing and give thanks in the present. Notice that in verse 4, we have two commands to praise God. Sing and give thanks. Y'all know what that is, y'all? That's worship. That's worship. Amen. See, you may not be able to praise him like somebody else, but everybody up in here ought to be able to worship him when you think about his holiness. Come on, I know I got some witnesses here. You may not be able to praise him like somebody else because they got a new car or they got a new house or they just got a new husband or a new wife. Amen. You may not be able to praise him like somebody else can pray, but everybody in here ought to be able to worship God simply because of who he is, because he's Jehovah Jireh. Amen. God, my provider, because he's Jehovah Rapha, God, my healer, because he's Jehovah Nisi, God, my banner, because he's Elohim. Everybody in here ought to be able to worship him just because of who he is. Notice that in verse 4, we have two commands, praise God, sing and give thanks. Well, contrary to popular belief, these commands are not options. Because when you look at this linguistically, you understand that the mood or the tense of both words, sing and give thanks, they are imperatives, which simply identifies these words as an order or a command. Yeah. To make it simple, this verse is simply a call to all to show an appreciation for who God is. We praise him for what he's done. But this particular verse is telling us, no, it's commanding us to worship, sing, and give thanks, to worship God because of who he is. David says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Now, I want you to notice that David did not say, let all the people with melodious voices sing. In other words, he did not say, everyone that can sing, sing. David says, sing ye saints of his. So the question really becomes, am I a saint of God? Now, if you're trying to determine your saintness by your own behavior, about how good you are, about how perfect you are, then you might conclude that you're not a saint. But I can stand here flat-footed this Sunday morning and know I'm not perfect. Yes, I mess up. Yes, I sin. Yes, I fall short. But I'm a saint of God, not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus did at Calvary. Is there anybody in here who understands that you are a saint of God, not because of your behavior, but because of your faith in a Jesus who went to an old rugged cross? He hung, he bled, he died. They buried him in a borrowed tomb early Sunday morning. He got up with all power in his hands. And if you can believe that in your heart and say it with your mouth, the Bible says you're saved. And if you're saved, in God's eyes, you're a saint. Come on, where are my saints? Where are my saints? David says, let the saints of God give him praise. He don't say everybody that can sing. Amen. He doesn't say anything about whether you know the difference between A flat or B flat. He doesn't say anything about whether you know the difference between crescendo and day crescendo. He doesn't say anything about whether you've been to the school of music. He says, let the saints of God, those who know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they have been saved, that they have been rescued, that they have been brought out of darkness into the marvelous light. David said, those are the folk who ought to praise him. Those are the folk who ought to give him thanks. Now, if you know that you know, that you know, that you know, in spite of your shortcomings, in spite of your sins, in spite of your iniquities, if you know that you belong to God, that you're his child, that he loves you, that you are saved, that you are a saint, nobody ought to have to pump you up.
Nobody ought to have to prod you. You ought to give him praise. David says it's a command. He commands us to give him praise. Well, I don't know what you came to do this morning. On this first Sunday of 2022. But if you ever forget your purpose, all you need to do is come right here in verse 4 and obey these two commands to sing and give thanks. That simply means that we are to worship God for who he is. That simply means that even if your money is funny and your change is strange, you ought to worship God. That means that even if you have on hand-me-downs or thrift store apparel, you still ought to worship him. Amen. I got one more and I'm done. The third and final thing we need to do to have great expectations for the new year is we need to trust God for future results. Let that sink in. Trust God. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. I don't know. They've been saying on the TV that this is the year that we're going to wipe out the pandemic. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I know who holds tomorrow. Yeah. I know that I've got to trust God for future results. So here it is. Number one, we need to look back over our life. Look at the past. Then we need to sing and give thanks. That is dealing with the present. That's talking about appreciation. That's talking about worship. But then we need to trust God for future results. Walk with me. Verse 5. Look at verse 5. It says, for his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is light. Weeping may endure for a night. But joy. Come on, let me hear you say, but joy. Cometh in the morning. Watch this, y'all. I don't want you to miss this. What we see here, David not only tells us that, but he gives us three reasons why we can trust God for future results. Number one, he says God's anger is only for a moment. I need you to let that sink in. Some of y'all don't know when it's time to shout. He says his anger is only for a moment. Now, this won't mean nothing to you if you don't mess up. This won't mean nothing to you if nobody ever cuts you off in traffic or takes a parking lot you've been waiting for, amen, and you feel tempted to cuss. And come on, can we be real? Amen. Sometimes you weren't just tempted to cuss. Oh my. Amen. But David says one of the reasons you can trust him for future results is that his anger is only for a moment. Y'all turn in your Bibles to the 103rd number of Psalms. I want to help somebody on this first Sunday of 2022, the 103rd number of Psalms. When you get there, go to verse 8, and I want you to look at verses 8 through 12. His anger is only for a moment. Look at it. Verse 8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy.